Seven of Truth. Thank you for joining me for the second hour of the Tory Lowe Show. And we got a mother in the studio, a Pewaukee mother, who's here because she was dealing with a missing situation with her daughter. It was all over the news, all over social media. Great news. The daughter has been brought home. She recently, as of yesterday, is home now. But we do have Kaylin Sunday here, and I want to talk about the process, because many times when we talk about missing in our communities, we rarely get all of the sides or all of the things that a family or a mother has to go through when it comes to missing. So we're going to have a great conversation today about missing in the state of Wisconsin and resources as well. Mm-hmm. How you doing, Kaylin?
I'm doing pretty good. All things considered.
The way we got in contact is you reached out because your daughter went missing.
Yes, my daughter went missing.
What happened?
My daughter ran away on January 11th at 6:17 p.m. And this has been a chronic recurring problem that I've had when she lived with my sister, when she lived in group homes. And it's been, a habitual behavior that she's had. So she went missing and we exhausted all resources. We, my sister and I, we contacted the police. They, filed a missing persons report and they looked into every resource and every possible avenue, but nobody came forward. So we went to the media and I was able to get in contact with you. And then on Sunday, after 8 days, my daughter shows up at my doorstep. Mm-hmm. 11 o'clock at night, there's a knock on the door. I look out and I look around and I don't see anybody, but something in me told me to open that door. Mm-hmm. And I was fearful just because of not knowing anything. And I've been so fearful of having that knock on the door to say something happened to my child.
And many times when a child goes missing, especially through the avenues of using social media, I call it smoking them out, making sure that everybody knows they can't hide. So they usually get dropped back off home.
Because that's what happened.
And I told you that.
You called it.
I told you, this is from listening to what you were saying. She's going to be home because these guys are not truly like real gangster type ideas because of the setup of how it happened. She'll be home in no time because they don't want to go to jail. They some of these guys in this situation, they're just looking for a good time, many times. And drugs are involved and things like that. So she shows up back home. But what I wanted to talk about with you in particular is, since this has been a situation that's repeated, what resources have you reached out to that worked or didn't work?
Well, so far, nothing's actually worked. I have been that Karen. I've been that I need to talk to your supervisor. I need to make these steps because when she first ran away, I just knew it was a matter of time. I could just tell by, some of the things she said that there's going to be more planning for next time. So I went down to Health and Human Services. I called CPS. I called, I reached out to the schools. I contacted corporate counsel. I did everything I could to make sure my baby would stay safe, but also we could have something that wasn't just voluntary, but something that, she would be, mandated to actually have to do. Mm-hmm. I only could find resources for myself, counseling for myself.
Oh, as a parent?
Yes, as a parent.
Oh, wow.
Because it's only voluntary. So if she doesn't want to, she doesn't have to.
Right.
So as for child services and stuff. I enrolled in a voluntary service and it's for me, not her. We're going to put together a meeting that, has all resources, support from me, from her past, from when she was at, her group home and people that care and love about her. So I filled out all the ROIs. I filled out, all the forms. I reached out. I had to go and it was phone call after phone call, and I finally went down to Health and Human Services, and they came to me, and they're like, let's go to our supervisor, because, you're not getting any results, but we don't know what we can do. So we're kind of at the head of being able to try to do something, mm-hmm. but there's also you need a lawyer if you want to file a JIPS, which is a juvenile in need of protection. There's the third party mental health screen, and it's all the legal stuff, but it's also all that process that takes a long time to do, and we don't have that time.
When did you notice her behavior switching to this runaway type format? Because many times young people, they may struggle in certain areas of life, and then they reach out to try to reach out to someone that they think they can relate to. Or mm-hmm. many times they'll use social media to kind of set up their own runaway many times.
Yep.
How did you find out that she was using social media to kind of contact people many times, or reaching out, or them reaching out to her?
Social media in my daughter's life has been a presence since she was like 13. I mean, she put Snapchat on a flip phone. Mm-hmm. And she had been running away and doing these things. And when she returned to home, I noticed that after she got off her probation, December 12th was the last day of her probation. Her GPS monitor came off.
And probation for what? Running away?
Running away. Things like stealing cars when she lived with my sister.
She got out there in the crowds where.
Oh, yeah.
They were kind of like with a group of individuals that were doing the wrong thing.
Yep. And it's all these social media groups, like especially Snapchat, where they have a group where they all talk and they all correlate and they all share resources.
Oh,
and
wow.
That's what she calls it, resources.
How to get out here and be bad, basically.
Be bad.
Or get their hands on what they are looking for, whether it be drugs or getting involved in things that they're not supposed to. This is all happening on social media.
And they're strangers. They're people she doesn't know. They're mm-hmm. people that, you know, are offering her places to stay, places to go, trying to send her things like Cash App or, you know, things. My sister used to have things come to the house through DoorDash. And, Yeah, it's a lifestyle. And I think it pulls people in because, you know, these young girls are, you know, getting anything from, hair, makeup, things sent to them. And
all from social media.
From Snapchat. And
wow.
Well, and Instagram, TikTok. Mm-hmm. And you have some on Facebook.
And these are young girls.
Young. My daughter was 13.
Are they sending pictures to these guys, or are they these guys think that they have a chance at mating with them or dealing with them in a certain kind of way?
I think that girls grow up too fast and that they can portray themselves as older. And I think that there's also that switch and bait not only going on with the older generation from men to young girls, but I've seen it as, younger girls portraying themselves as older.
Right.
But also ultimately, their age.
Right. You can, after a conversation with them, you're not a grown mm-hmm. woman. You're a child.
Yep. Especially with those mind games and everything. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's men out there that just, they see that and they know it. And mm-hmm. they also know that, as a young teen, they're looking for validation. They're looking for, their body to be validated. They're looking for love. And they're also looking for that relationship that maybe they are seeing on a lot of these social media.
Or that they didn't have with a parent.
Parent or other healthy children their age.
What do you think is driving your daughter to do these things, some of these things that you have to deal with on a day-to-day basis?
I think that social media has probably helped her develop an addiction. And I think that when you develop an addiction with these kind of things, it transfers over into other areas. And that's also that lifestyle. That's the we used to always say sex, drug, rock and roll. So, this time it's hip hop, but I love hip hop. Don't get me wrong. But it's it's a transference of one addiction for the next.
Well, look, when we come back, we're in the studio with Kaylin Sunday. Her daughter is a chronic runaway. And we're talking about resources. We're talking about, even if you're a parent, what should you look for mm-hmm. and identify? And what can we do? We're trying to discuss it all right here on the Tory Lowe Show. When we come back, we'll have more conversation. Truth Nation, stay locked in. 101.7 The Truth, Tory Lowe Show. Look, we got Kaylin Sunday in studio. Her daughter went missing out of Pewaukee, and we've talked for a while and tried to come up with better solutions when it's chronic runaway, because many times social media opens up the door many times when you don't even know that they even have a phone. Mm-hmm. I mean, they can obtain almost anything from being online. And we want to make sure that we break down this issue, because many families are going through this. So I appreciate you, Kaylin, for coming in and discussing what you personally are going through and many other families are going through right now in the community when it comes to runaway. Mm-hmm. And I always say that when girls run away, they know to get them and then send them back home.
Yep.
Because after a while, they don't get the resources from the police. You only get a few times where the police may do a real look. But then after a while, they'll check the name and see that, okay, she just ran away. And now they're not going to give resources, fully develop resources to where they're actually out there looking for her, because the fact that she's a chronic runaway. And I always say this is the gateway to human trafficking.
Absolutely.
And they know to send her back home. And then many times these young girls don't say who they were with. They they keep this promise or this ideal of, I'm not going to turn in what they believe is, I'm not going to turn in my friends.
Right.
But then they don't know that this is what they want you to do. So eventually we can move you into a serious human trafficking situation.
Mm-hmm. I think my daughter would be calling me a snitch right now.
Oh, wow.
But she doesn't understand that I've also been in a position myself in my life that I've also, you know, been a part of that lifestyle,
right,
that I have been trafficked, that I have,
wow,
you know, experienced all these things. So when I hear what she's saying, I recognize the signs. And I also, you know, have my support groups. I have my advocates. I, you know, I have a lot of healing that I've done. And I think that one thing you did touch about is the resources. And, you know, to me, I was thinking about that cell phone, that burner phone, not knowing, you know, she goes to school, she comes home, but she's not leaving the house. How does she get it? Well, she has friends. So these children are resourcing at school. Somebody else gets one from another person. She goes to school, she gets it from them. And now she has a burner phone that I don't know about.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so that's like that networking that, you know, these teens are doing. And it's all, it's an underground network of resources.
And they can move around for only so long because they're only children. They're not paying rent. So adults many times don't know all of this is happening.
No.
And they could be in the house not knowing that they're hosting a runaway.
Correct. Yep, because it's all these lies. They're like, oh, well, my friend's coming for the night. They're just going to stay for the night. Mm-hmm. And, or, you know, my mom said this and that. And that's why it's always asking the who, what, where, when, and the forthcoming. But you also get, you know, people that if you're not meeting the parents and you're not, you know, actually getting the numbers and you're not having your child's location, you have people that are posing as adults for these children. And they're not really the adults. They're not really the parents. They're people that are, you know,
aiding.
Yep. And, you know, it was one point we found out that she was trying to get a friend to hold a phone for her. And the only location that we actually had was on Thursday night, which was during that time. I think it was Thursday. It was maybe the 15th or 16th. And there was a sign in and one hit in Chicago, one hit in Oshkosh, and one hit here in 101st in Wisconsin. And I later found out that, you know, these are other kids, other teens that are logging into her Snapchat, and they're causing, you know, everybody to go in these different locations when in fact she's not in any of them, and she's using her burner. So these are the things I've been finding out. These are the things that I've had privilege to know. You know, saying what I know is hard because then it, you know, could, you know, hinder us if she runs away again.
Right.
But I also want to speak to those parents that these are the things that, you know, these teens are doing. They're collaborating together and they're ultimately, you know, creating a network of how not to get found.
And I've ran into parents who had issues in the past with running away, and they wanted to be that person that understood and that they're totally aiding these children. I had to run up on a couple parents. I said, if I ever catch any kid over here, I don't care what you calling it. I don't care how you can empathize. You're not their parent. You're not the legal guardian.
No.
And you can't make certain choices or I'm going to have to put you in jail. You know what I mean?
They want to be that cool adult.
Right. And no, they're causing them more stress than good, you know. And many times, instead of being a resource, or they think they're being a resource, what they're really doing is harming the child, because then they may have other teens over there drinking, having
sex,
you know, and all of that under their roof, where they shouldn't be allowing that to happen.
Exactly. You know, there was an instance last summer, summer of 2025, where she did run away from her group home. She had had her phone for 3 days at a group home. She took a picture of the window and said, anybody have a ladder? Somebody brought a 20-foot ladder to a group home.
What?
Yep.
Off of social media?
Off social media. Some stranger, some adult had a disposable 20-foot ladder laying around, brought it, and she was on the run for 6 days. And so at this point, there was, we found out that there was an adult that had, you know, picked her up, said, hey, let me help you, told other people, adults, that if she was, you know, found or in her presence and stuff, that she would, you know, turn her in. And when in fact she helped her get cleaned up and ready and left again. And when my daughter told me, oh no, she let me go. This woman had said that she, you know, had stepped out of the room and my daughter just left. So there's adults helping children. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's concerning, because she was out there for another 3 days, after that, until, you know, it was another situation where an adult actually was an adult and, you know, called the police while she was in the shower. So, So, I mean, somebody did do their job. And it just shows that there's these variants of judgment in adults. But if a child is a runaway, you suspect that they're a runaway, you should be calling enforcement.
Yes, you should be calling law enforcement. Mm-hmm. Once again, we got Kaylin Sunday in studio from Pewaukee. Recently had a missing daughter, a chronic runaway. And we're talking about the different ideas that you had to go through. Because it's over my tenure of the last 16 years, I've had several situations similar to yours. And many times, it's just a network of kids. We talk about grooming, but sometimes it's youth, young people with a network, like you said, to get their hands on burner phones to kind of assist in this.
Yep. I just... when I think about the network and the resources and stuff that went into this and the thinking and the planning, this has become progressive. So, like, you know, ultimately the teen gets better at it and they get to come back home. They get to rest. They get to recover. And then they get to resource. So you got the three R's, you know. And they're learning how to get better at this and get more resources and how not to get caught or found.
And they protect the names of those that were with them.
Yes.
Your daughter recently was home.
Yep.
She's home right now.
She's home right now, yes.
She could run away again.
Yes.
And when I say that there's no leverage for the parent in this situation, there I haven't seen any leverage, because I see that there are resources, but they're not obligated to keep the child there.
Nope, they're not obligated.
The child can say, I don't want to do this, and they can just leave.
Yep. And then the resources is telling, you know, police, school that, you know, oh, I want these resources. And then when you bring the child and you are, you know, making these phone calls, making these appointments, you know, even trying to get her in the car and everything, they don't have to participate because it's all voluntary.
Right.
So that's the hard part, is having, you know, you're telling somebody one thing, but you're not willing to do the next. Like she told the officers, like, oh, I want therapy. And last night it's sitting and having a conversation of I can schedule even a Zoom. You don't have to leave the house. We can do this. I'm willing to do that. Like, she doesn't want to participate. And ultimately, all I can do is focus on what I'm going through.
Right.
And I know if I get therapy, that helps her. But also, you know, like, my daughter needs to be able to talk to somebody. She doesn't want to participate with mentors. We had the CCS team. I think it's CTLS or something, but there's all these organizations that are voluntary and they provide all these services and, they help children and she does not want to take them. And I have signed her up, I've contacted, and I get these phone calls of, hey, you're not participating. And I'm like, well, she doesn't want to. That's the hard part is like, she says she'll do this, but she doesn't. There's no follow through.
Why is she running away? Is there a reason that you pinpointed? Why is she rebelling against what's going on at home? Have you ever said, okay, this is what is triggering her?
From what I understand with like even my sister and stuff, my daughter is always running from something, and whether or not it's good or bad, it's that self-sabotaging behavior she's been doing this since she was little. Mm-hmm. She's we've not had the easiest of life. I was gone for a while. And when she lived with my sister, when she was younger, she participated in the church. She did her faith-based. She went to camps. She did 4-H. She did all these things. And then when it got on social media, that has that pull into her. Mm-hmm. And she's looking for validation and stuff from youth. I invite her to do everything. She'll try something normally once and say it's not for me, whether or not it's rock climbing or we did the polar plunge and stuff. For her, it's she wants the youth, but she doesn't want the ones that are doing the things she's supposed to.
Right. Well, look, when we come back, I got an idea of how we can come together and try to kind of fill in, a void where the parents seem to not have any power at a certain point after the girl comes home or the son comes home. And many times y'all left to panic because y'all don't know when they're going to do it again.
No. And I had every emotion I had a whole feeling wheel and I felt everything. And I felt like I got hit by a truck and I couldn't even, and just seeing her walk through that door, every fear was lifted. But my fear that how am I going to keep her at home? I was more scared of even having her at home because I keep her there.
Well, look, when we come back, I want to talk about some ideas that parents can probably work to have to fight against chronic runaways and youth. Because, like I said, you're the legal guardian until she turned 18. Mm-hmm. And we want to see if there's ways that we can use resources to make sure that you can have power to kind of control some of the situation, but we're going to talk about that when we get back. We got Kaylin Sunday in studio from Pewaukee. 101.7 The Truth. Tory Lowe Show. We got Kaylin Sunday in studio from Pewaukee. And her daughter recently was involved in where she had ran away. She runs away multiple times. And we're trying to figure out things that we can do, because I've dealt with a lot of situations where the child would just come back home, relax, kind of recover from being, in a situation where they were a runaway. Then all of a sudden, after a week or two, they're back at it, And many times when we talk about what leverage does the parent have in that situation, and many times it's almost none.
I have none. I pleaded with them to, I spent 6 hours when she got home and I was told that they would at least take her someplace, be able to question her, make sure she was safe. I know it's her body, but I also had wanted maybe her to go to the SANE unit, have, some kind of, help see what had happened. Mm-hmm. We don't know where she was. We don't know who she was with. We don't know who dropped her off at my house.
Not talking about it.
No, honestly, it's a fabricated little story that's on repeat, and I might get bits and pieces of it. But right now, there's nothing.
So there's nothing holding her at home right now?
No, except maybe not having a cell phone, but she says she has a cell phone someplace. Mm-hmm. And, do I believe her? I don't know.
She can get one. She can obtain one.
Absolutely. All she has to do is go to school. All she has to do is probably walk out those doors. She knows where she was. All she has to do is go back.
So I think many times when we talk about giving parents the authority to try to do more, I think you have to try to at least get some kind of legislation. I'm more of like, what can we do for this situation? And I'm wondering, is there a way that we can make sure that these youth stay on a tracker?
Yep. I think a GPS
through the courts.
Tracker.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Instead of a lot, because you don't know right now she's at home.
Right.
You don't know by the time you get off the radio, if you come back, she's going to be gone.
No, I mean, that might blink camera will notify me. Right. But as soon as she hits that door, she's out. I mean, she's on the streets again.
And so this is a consistent thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, you know, if we can kind of get a legislation where the child has to kind of sort of be in a space like house arrest,
mm-hmm.
but only with a contract between the parent, the judge, and the teen.
Right.
And if they break the rules, maybe they can go into maybe something of a punishment almost.
Correct.
Where they can maybe go to a detention center for like 6 months or something like that. I don't know, because why wait until they commit a harsh crime?
Right. Why
and
until
go to
they're
prison?
In the juvenile system
right.
that they have to, and then they have legal repercussions? Why do we have to wait for them to have, you know, when the citations fall on the parents? So, mm-hmm. I mean, we're looking at – that's what I was told is I had – the first time she ran away, I was told that by the juvenile system is, you know, you have to create an opportunity that she can get in trouble
mm-hmm.
so that then you can have that option to get a GPS monitoring system, to get a juvenile
right,
intake.
Right, because usually you have to commit a crime.
Mm-hmm.
Then they'll take you into the system, and then you have to for probation almost.
Right.
To have that GPS monitoring
right.
system.
Right. And so while she was gone, I – you know, she had destroyed something in my apartment from before, and I was able to get a juvenile referral, but that's mm-hmm. also probably going to be deferred because it was just damage to the property. But it was the only way that, you know, I'm thinking outside the box as a parent mm-hmm. of you know, I've made every phone call. I mean, I called CPS on myself.
Right.
Like, I don't know many parents that do that, but like, what can I do? And I'm told we can't do anything. And so like, what, I have to get her into juvenile intake and they're not willing to take her without a referral from the police?
Wow. They say detention centers don't work. How about showing the girl the movie Hostel? To help scare her straight.
Well, I mean, I've been in a lot of hostels.
Oh, wow.
And she absolutely loves all those scary movies. So I think that she would probably glorify it. I think that young ladies these days, and I say that, I think they glorify that lifestyle. I mean, especially if you put substances into it and stuff. I mean, yeah. I'll show her that movie. I'll take that suggestion.
Well, to me, I feel like as a parent, you have to maintain the child until they turn 18.
Correct.
Unless they break the law, then the system may take them in. But I think that there should be some kind of way where the parents can be the PO officer from home
mm-hmm.
and have them on a monitor system and have repercussions if they are a chronic person that runs away from home. And we got to get something installed so they don't become get in a space where they have to commit a real serious crime
mm-hmm.
or get out here and get involved with the wrong people and do harm to innocent life. And I think that where the parents don't have the power is the system, like you said, is voluntary. And they really, once they realize, oh, I don't have to be here.
Yeah.
I don't have to do this.
So I was thinking about something that if, you know, when she went missing, I think about all the money and resources from the police department that right. went into finding her, right? And
mm-hmm.
you're talking how many districts, how many hours, how many people knocking on doors, and all that money that went into that. You know, you're looking at, I mean, I don't know when the marshals tracked me down years ago. I mean, that was $50,000 they said I owed
wow.
in restitution. So, like, I'm just thinking about, like, what that went into in mine and then what goes into hers. And ultimately, the community's paying for that, right?
Right.
So, like, we could cut funding like on that part from them. Like if they wouldn't have to spend that. I'm not saying cut that, but like they wouldn't have to spend that if we could just be able to implement an ankle monitor that's $1,200, you
right.
know, a supervision fee. And ultimately it could be a simple.
And that could be a cost to the parent.
Yeah, it could be. And then also it could be an incident. Like, you know, there are funding, there are places, there are grants, there are things that we can write. And it also could be a simple, juvenile form that, you know, a petition to file that a parent could just file it themselves, go down to the courthouse and be able to, you know, go in front of the judge and say, hey, like, I've showed this behavior has happened.
Right.
This is dangerous. This is why. And it would be no different than anything else that we have. But the parents should be able to do that.
Right. I agree. And I think that we're going to start working on things mm-hmm. like that, because something has to happen, because for her to be in a space where and many of these young girls out there with strangers and ain't no telling what the truth is if they're not telling what truly happened, because they're not at home and they're not around family. They're around strangers and ain't no telling what is the true experience unless they just come out right and say, this is what happened to me.
Right.
And so what is that doing to her psychologically every time?
The trauma.
Every time she's going out there and coming back home. And many times it puts the parent at risk because they can get extremely violent once they get back mm-hmm. home. Because now that is not the same child that left.
And that's
every
exactly
time
what
they
is.
Leave, they get a little bit more aggressive and they come home. And I've seen parents call 911 on the child because the child have threatened to kill them.
Oh, yep. I can relate.
Oh, wow.
I mean, just not even so much that. It's the, you know, if you don't do this, I'm going to do that. If you don't, you know, buy me that, I have to go do this. Like, mm-hmm. you would hate for me to do this that you used to do. And the thing is, ultimately, like, trauma is an onion. And ultimately, like, it starts with one trauma and it keeps layering itself up. And, you know, I feel that there's a numbness and hardness that happens in the hardening of the heart. And then this is going to carry over into adulthood. And, you know, if a child doesn't want therapy, she doesn't want help, she doesn't want to do these voluntary things, how do I help her get that help? Or right. how do I mean?
But you can't if somebody.
No.
You can't make somebody do something.
Nope.
That they don't want to do. That's
nope.
the one rule. But then that's when you have a system, you know, that says, OK, you just can't do whatever you want to do.
Right.
And many times we're under the illusion that we have resources that can help,
mm-hmm.
but it comes, it's a two-way door. If the person has to want to be helped for it to work.
Right. And why do they have to go on probation to get this help? Mm. They shouldn't have to. I mean, even you think about how some of these, you know, she's almost 17. So you have a parent that has a child that is almost 17. And a lot of times when a child commits a crime at 16, 17, that goes on their adult record. Like, we could prevent that going on their adult record, affecting them from college and any of these other things, if we could actually just get the parent to be able to have that control of getting a, you know, a GPS monitoring.
Hmm. Somebody says, is she a Sagittarius?
Her birthday is 7-6. So
okay.
Not 6-7.
Okay. Oh, wow.
I had to do that. Sorry.
That's funny.
No, it's all my
okay.
children. All my children and I. We have a lot of jokes.
Well, I'll tell you this: when we come back, we'll get the last words from Kaylin.
I saw that comment.
Sunday, she's in the studio from Pewaukee, discussing her daughter who is a chronic runaway, and I want to get your ideas on what clues, if mothers are going through this,
yeah.
what should they look for if parents are going through a child on social media, not doing what they're supposed to do and running away. What are some of the clues and signs they should look for?
Yes.
Hey, look, when we come back, we'll have more discussion. Truth Nation, stay locked in. 101, 7 The Truth, Tory Lowe Show. Look, we got Kaylin Sunday in studio. Her daughter went missing out of Pewaukee, and we've talked for a while and tried to come up with better solutions when it's chronic runaway, because many times social media opens up the door many times when you don't even know that they even have a phone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they can obtain almost anything from being online. And we want to make sure that we break down this issue because many families are going through this. So I appreciate you, Kaylin, for coming mm-hmm. in and discussing what you personally are going through and many other families are going through right now in the community when it comes to runaway.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say that when girls run away, they know to get them and then send them back home.
Yep.
Because after a while, they don't get the resources from the police. You only get a few times where the police may do a real look. But then after a while, they'll check the name and see that, okay, she just ran away. And now they're not going to give resources, fully develop resources to where they're actually out there looking for her because the fact that she's a chronic runaway. And I always say this is the gateway to human trafficking.
Absolutely.
And they know to send her back home. And then many times these young girls don't say who they were with. They they keep this promise or this ideal of I'm not going to turn in what they believe is I'm not going to turn in my friends.
Right.
But then they don't know that that's this is what they want you to do. So eventually we can move you into a serious human trafficking situation.
I think my daughter would be calling me a snitch right now. But she doesn't understand that I've also been in a position myself in my life that I've also, you know, been a part of that lifestyle, that I have been trafficked, that I have, you know, experienced all these things. So when I hear what she's saying, I recognize the signs. And I also, you know, have my support groups. I have my advocates. I, you know, I have a lot of healing that I've done. And I think that one thing you did touch about is the resources. And, you know, to me, I was thinking about that cell phone, that burner phone, not knowing, you know, she goes to school, she comes home, but she's not leaving the house. How does she get it? Well, she has friends. So these children are resourcing at school. Somebody else gets one from another person. She goes to school, she gets it from them. And now she has a burner phone that I don't know about.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so that's like that networking that, you know, these teens are doing. And it's all it's an underground network of resources.
And they can move around for only so long because they're only children. They're not paying rent. So adults many times don't know all of this is happening.
No.
And they could be in the house not knowing that they're hosting a runaway.
Correct. Yep, because it's all these lies. They're like, oh, well, my friend, like my friend's coming for the night. They're just going to stay for the night. And or, you know, my mom said this and that. And that's why it's always asking the who, what, where, when and the forthcoming. But you also get, you know, people that if you're not meeting the parents and you're not, you know, actually getting the numbers and you're not having your child's location, you have people that are posing as adults for these children. And they're not really the adults. They're not really the parents. They're people that are, you know,
aiding.
Yep. And, you know, it was one point we found out that she was trying to get a friend to hold a phone for her. And the only location that we actually had was on Thursday night, which was during during that time. I think it was Thursday. It was maybe the 15th or 16th. And there was a sign-in and one hit in Chicago, one hit in Oshkosh, and one hit here in 101st in Wisconsin. And I later found out that, you know, these are other kids, other teens that are logging into her Snapchat. And they're causing, you know, everybody to go in these different locations when, in fact, she's not in any of them. And she does she's using her burner. So these are the things I've been finding out. These are the things that I've had privilege to know. You know, saying what I know is hard because then it, you know, could, you know, hinder us if she runs away again. But I also want to speak to those parents that these are the things that, you know, these teens are doing. They're collaborating together and they're ultimately, you know, creating a network of how not to get found.
And I've ran into parents who had issues in the past with running away and they wanted to be that person that understood and that they're totally aiding these children. I had to run up on a couple parents. I said, if I ever catch any kid over here, I don't care what you calling it. I don't care how you can empathize. You're not their parent.
Yeah.
You're not the legal guardian.
No.
And you can't make certain choices or I'm going to have to put you in jail. You know what I mean?
They want to be that cool adult.
Right. And no, they're causing them more stress than good, you know.
Yeah.
And many times, instead of being a resource, or they think they're being a resource, what they're really doing is harming the child because then they may have other teens over there drinking, having
sex,
you know, and all of that at, under their roof where they shouldn't be allowing that to happen.
Exactly. You know, there was an instance last summer, summer of 2025, where she did run away from her group home. She had had her phone for 3 days at a group home. She took a picture of the window and said, anybody have a ladder? Somebody brought a 20-foot ladder to a group home.
What?
Yep.
Off of social media.
Off social media. Some stranger, some adult had a disposable 20-foot ladder laying around, brought it, and she was on the run for 6 days. And
oh, wow.
So at this point, we found out that there was an adult that had, you know, picked her up, said, hey, let me help you, you know. Told other, you know, like if she told her that or told other people, adults, that if she was, you know, found or in her presence and stuff, that she would, you know, turn her in. And when in fact she helped her get cleaned up and ready and left again. And when my daughter told me, oh, no, she let me go. This woman had said that she, you know, had stepped out of the room and my daughter just left. So there's adults helping children. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's concerning because she was out there for another 3 days after that until, you know, it was another situation where an adult actually was an adult and, you know, called the police while she was in the shower. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, somebody did do their job. And okay. It just shows that there's these variants of judgment in adults. But if a child is a runaway, you suspect that they're a runaway. You should be calling enforcement.
Yeah, you should be calling law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, we got Kaylin Sunday in studio from Pewaukee. Recently had a missing daughter, a chronic runaway. And we're talking about the different ideas that you had to go through. Because it's over my tenure of the last 16 years, I've had several situations similar to yours. And many mm-hmm. times, it's just a network of kids. We talk about grooming, but sometimes it's youth, young people with a network, like you said, to get their hands on burner phones to kind of assist in this.
Yep. I just, when I think about the network and the resources and stuff that went into this and the thinking and the planning, this has become progressive. So, like, you know, ultimately the team gets better at it.
Mm-hmm.
And they get to come back home, they get to rest, they get to recover, and then they get to resource. So you got the three R's, you know. And they're learning how to get better at this and get more resources and how not to get caught
right.
or found.
And they protect the names of those that were with them.
Yes.
Your daughter recently was home.
Yep.
She's home right now.
She's home right now, yes.
She could run away again.
Yes.
And when I say that there's no leverage for the parent in this situation. Mm-hmm. There, I haven't seen any leverage because I see that there are resources, but they're not obligated to keep the child there.
Nope, they're not obligated.
The child can say, I don't want to do this, and they can just leave.
Yep. And then the resources is telling, you know, police, school that, you know, oh, I want these resources. And then when you bring the child and you are, you know, making these phone calls, making these appointments, you know, even trying to get her in the car and everything, they don't have to participate because it's all voluntary.
Right.
So that's the hard part is having, you know, you're telling somebody one thing, but you're not willing to do the next. Like she told the officers, like, oh, I want therapy. And last night it's sitting and having a conversation of let's, you know, I can schedule even a Zoom. You don't have to leave the house. We can do this. I'm willing to do that. Like she doesn't want to participate. And ultimately, all I can do is focus on what I'm going through.
Right.
And I know what if I get therapy, that helps her. But mm-hmm. also, you know, like my daughter needs to be able to talk to somebody. She doesn't want to participate with mentors. We had the CCS team. I think it's CTLS or something. But there's all these organizations that are voluntary and they provide all these services and, you know, they help children and she does not want to take them. And I have signed her up. I've contacted, you know, and I get these phone calls of, hey, you know, like you're not participating. And I'm like, well, she doesn't want to. That's the hard part is like she says she'll do this, but she doesn't. There's no follow through.
Why is she running away? Is there a reason that you've pinpointed? Why is she rebelling against what's going on at home? Have you ever said, okay, this is what is triggering her?
From what I understand with like even my sister and stuff, my daughter is always running from something and whether or not it's good or bad, it's that self-sabotaging behavior mm-hmm. of, you know, it's she's been doing this since she was little.
Mm-hmm.
She's, you know, we've not had the easiest of life. I was gone for a while. And when she lived with my sister, you know, she you know, when she's younger, she participated in the church. She did her faith based. She went to camps. She did 4-H. She did all these things. And then when it got on social media, that has that pull into her. Mm-hmm. And it's she's looking for validation and stuff from youth. You know, I invite her to do everything. She'll try something normally once and say it's not for me, whether or not it's rock climbing or we did the polar plunge and stuff. For her, it's having – she wants the youth, but she doesn't want the ones that are doing the things she's supposed to.
Right. Well, look, when we come back, I got an idea of how we can come together and try to kind of fill in, a void where the parents seem to not have any power at a certain point after the girl comes home or the son comes home. And many times y'all left to panic. Mm-hmm. Because y'all don't know when they're going to do it again.
No. And I had every emotion you'd ever – I had a whole feeling wheel and I felt everything. And I felt like I got hit by a truck and I couldn't even – you know, and just seeing her walk through that door, it was – every fear was lifted. But my fear that how am I going to keep her at home? I was more scared of even having her at home because I can't keep her there.
Well, look, when we come back, I want to talk about some ideas that parents can probably work to have to fight against chronic runaways and youth. Because like I said, you're the legal guardian until she turned 18. Mm-hmm. And we want to see if there's ways that we can use resources to make sure that you can have power to kind of control some of the situation. But we're going to talk about that when we get back. We got Kaylin Sunday in studio from Pewaukee. Truth Nation, stay locked in.
More of the Tory Lowe Show is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.